And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
All right, Woody, we're going to go right to him. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us this morning. Got a few things to talk about and a little bit in the draft as well. All the stuff that Kyle does such a great job with. And I start with this, Kyle, as we start the morning. With a new kickoff returns, and looks like there'll be two return guys in that area. We've had a lot of fans going, oh, we got to put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Raheem and all our speed guys back there. And I went, no, no, and no. I don't even want Achan back there, to be honest. How do you feel about return guys? Is everybody now adjusting to the new kickoff return?
Well, I guess what's interesting about it is part of the support for this style of kickoff is the reduced risk for injury. So I'd say this, if I was another team and Miami had any one of like their eight options back there, I'd just kick the darn thing out of the back of the end zone and give them the ball at the 30. And I would just call it a day. Because if you did put those guys back there in that type of format, I think it would be a big advantage for Miami. There's obviously a risk assessment that's involved there, that the appeal with the new rules is it does reduce the risk of injury in those settings, but Tyreek Hill specifically, Jalen Waddle specifically, those guys, so much of an identity of what you were. You saw what it looked like when one of those guys was interrupted in December last year.
There,
and that's where you have a hard time. You want to use those reps for those guys in where they're going to have the most impact on your offense.
Yeah. So we're just looking as everybody now has kind of filled in the roster of what they've added to the team so far, and I'm sure you've done a little bit of that yourself. So I kind of looked over at that left side of that offensive line, and I go, wow, we got Teron Armstead and Isaiah Wynn back at the left side. Those are two guys really played well. The problem is they missed like 17 games between them. Does this put – how much importance on finding a guy that can play left guard, left tackle, maybe combination? Where does that on the priority list coming up next month?
Yeah, I don't think you can be done. I think it would be irresponsible to just call it a day and say, oh, well, we added some competition. We added another swing guy in Jack Driscoll. Liam Eikenberg can play all the spots on the line. Teron Armstead is going to be locked in at your left tackle. Isaiah Wynn could play left tackle if then you put somebody else in at guard. Like, their whole DNA has been positional flexibility. I think it's a good thing. But I think you need one more definitive piece. And I think the Goldilocks situation would be you come out of the NFL draft, some stability early in his career is on the board for you at pick 21. You would draft that guy. He would get in your starting five because he's got guard flexibility early in his career. And then as you transition from Teron Armstead, he could step in and be your left tackle long term.
I got to ask you, is Rob Jones, who played a lot of football last year and at times really looked great, would you trust Rob Jones to come back and be a starter if I said he was going to start at right guard? I'm not saying it'll happen, but if it did, how would you feel about that?
I'd be a little disappointed. Rob's a good developmental young player who I think is a really valuable piece for being a fairly high-floor backup offensive lineman. But in this system specifically, I don't think his best traits really align with what Miami's identifying pieces of what they want in an offensive lineman are. Thinking about explosiveness off the ball, getting out in space, getting up on the second level. Those are things for Rob Jones that I just think with his skill set, it's a little miscast for you to say, yeah, we're good with that being a starting profile within our offensive line. Now, I think if you need a player that can get you through a tough stretch, can get you through a month of being a backup offensive guard, I certainly think there's worse options that you can have. But if they were to just evaluate the tape that he put out last year and say, yeah, we're good with rolling with Rob as a starter, I'd be a little surprised.
Yeah, and then switching over here on the other side of the ball, I want to ask you with the group of defensive tackles that they have, and they have signed a bunch of guys to play with Zach Sealer, no question about it. But is there anybody in this draft that's clearly better and upgraded that has potential to be really good that you trust in the first or second round of this draft?
I'll be honest. I think this interior defensive tackle class is a little bit better than I thought it was as I've kind of gotten into the deep dive on some of these guys. The two consensus first-round names that you'll hear are Byron Murphy, the second from Texas, who's about 6 foot tall, 300 pounds. He's got requisite arm length, but he's got a really nice upside as a pass rusher, but he's probably a better run defender right now than he is pass rusher, and he's got the leverage because of his frame. So that kind of profiles similarly. He's not as big or as tall as Christian Wilkins was when Christian Wilkins came out of Clemson, but there's some parallels as far as what I think he is when he comes into the league versus what I think he could eventually become. And then Johnny Newton from Illinois is the other one who is a lot more of a disruptive penetration style player. So those two guys, I think consensus will probably go top 25 somewhere. And then beyond that, you have some other guys, Kevondre Sweat, the other Texas guy, is a little bit more of a nose tackle type, but has a lot more athleticism in his frame at 360 pounds than you might expect. And then you get into like Michael Hall from Ohio State, Chris Jenkins Jr. from Michigan. He's another 300-pound type player who I think really blossomed this year and played really, really well in the national championship game. He was one of the key impact players in the trenches to help Michigan beat Washington in the national championship. So those guys on day two, guys like Hall from Ohio State, guys like Jenkins from Michigan, I don't think are bad quote-unquote consolation prizes if you go a different direction in the first round.
If you don't get Odell Beckham Jr., which, by the way, I still feel pretty good. I guess Buffalo's jumping in this thing heavily too, but I'm looking, if the money's close for a lot of reasons, Odell looks like a Miami guy to me. I don't know about for you, but if that doesn't work, how important all of a sudden is it to find one of these wide receivers, maybe potentially, in the first couple of rounds?
Yeah, I think having – when you have to go drop back passing and when you have to be in 11 personnel, Miami's offense was so efficient in early downs because they went into 21 personnel, which is two backs, one tight end. They weren't really a big 12 personnel team. We'll see if that changes this year with the addition of Jonnu Smith. But when you go with 11 personnel and your obvious passing situations, the whole objective last offseason was find somebody else who can win some one-on-one. And they didn't get it, whether it was Cedric Wilson getting 55% of the snaps on the season, whether it was Braxton Berrios, who I don't mind being back. I think he's a nice complementary piece to the offense, and it looked like in the first month of the season last year, he might have some really good contributions to the team, and then he kind of fell off. So who's that guy going to be? Is it Eric Ezukama? I think that's what makes it tough, is they internally know what they think about Ezukama, but I think it would be irresponsible to just put all your eggs in that basket. Yeah. So I do think that you're going to need another body to at least compete as the floor of what that player can be for the third target in your 11 personnel packages, because it needs to be a better option than what it was last year.
Kyle, I was reading something last night. I don't know if this is true. We've never had four quarterbacks go in the first four picks of a draft. We've had three a bunch, but never four straight quarterbacks. Is that true?
I believe that is a factual statement, yes.
So could that happen this year?
Yeah, New England's the key. New England's got to look themselves in the mirror, and they've got to ask themselves, is picks 11, 23, and a first-round pick from Minnesota this year – or versus the third overall pick this year versus the third quarterback who's available, what's more valuable to us with where we are at this juncture as a football team? I know what my answer would be, and I would take the picks and run, in which case you would have Arizona then that doesn't have the three first-round pick offer after they traded down last year with Houston and got a bunch of extra draft capital. So they're already stockpiling draft capital, Arizona is. But if I were New England, I would want that opportunity to do that versus having the third guy in this year's class. If they decide otherwise, Arizona showed you their hand last year when they traded that all out of a spot to get extra draft capital and three first-round picks from Minnesota. The top 50, top 75 in this year's class is really, really good. So you're feeling really good if you don't need a quarterback, hypothetically, or if you decide not to get a quarterback – getting, say you get a day two pick too, right? So you get 11, you get a really good, you might get the second best offensive tackle in this class, you might get the best pass rusher in this class, you might get the best corner in this class. 23, you're going to be in that range where you have the second range, second run of wide receiver. That's probably going to start to happen. So if you need a wide receiver, there's probably going to be leftovers. That's probably where the interior defensive line guys are going to start coming off the board. Like, there's a lot you can do with that. So for New England, that's the question they have to answer for themselves. My answer would be to take the picks. It doesn't sound like they are consensus with what they want to do, so they'll be the team to watch.
Yeah, wow, okay. Hey, so I got. It seems to me we still need another safety. I know everybody's talked about Poyer and how good he is, and he's still got a lot left in the tank. But don't you agree? We need another safety that can play during the year. Seems like we play a lot of safeties. What do you think?
I'll be honest. I would take the money they're trying to give Odell Beckham, and I would give it to Quandre Diggs. And I know I'm not the only person in the Dolphins space who covers a team who feels that way. But Quandre Diggs from Seattle, watching a ton of tape on Jordan Brooks, Quandre Diggs shows up big every single week on tape. And I think if you had Quandre Diggs paired with Jordan Poyer, paired with Javon Holland, with the versatility of the corners, that would be a really, really exciting DNA for a back seven. And safety market's cheaper than wide receiver market. Let's just be completely honest. Like Odell, when you put in stipulated money, that might be a $10, $11 million max value. I think that the base value of that's probably going to be half of that. But the ceiling for that contract is going to be higher than a safety contract, where you're seeing guys like, I believe Kevin Byard signed for 2 years, 15, so like 7.5. Like, it's cheaper to go get an impact safety. And you got two of them out there between Justin Simmons and Quandre Diggs. I think Diggs would be the better complement to what the Dolphins have, but I agree wholeheartedly. Another safety, specifically with Poyer coming in,
yeah,
as a guy who is on the tail end of his career, I would want another guy, and another guy that could be an impact player.
That's an all-in move again, man. I like that. That's good stuff. Hey, as always, Kyle, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks, Joe. Good chatting with you.